Hi, and welcome to Only the Avatar.
An Avatar, the Last Airbender rewatch podcast. I'm Veda.
And I'm Christina, and you're listening to the season two finale, The Crossroads of Destiny.
Oh my gosh, season two. We have one season left.
Oh my god, it makes me kind of sad. I can't believe we are more than, like, we're two-thirds of the way done with the show.
I know. And this episode is like, it's kind of crazy to be like, this is a kid's show, and it's the, well, we'll talk about it, but the cliffhanger that it leaves you on, and like the darkness of this episode.
Like, if you think about the season one episode, like episode one, it's so different. It was so playful in season one, and now it's just such hard hitting stuff right now.
Even like the two of them together, the Guru, which we talked about last week, and this one, like seeing them as an arc of these two episodes, I think you mentioned it in our last podcast, like, oh, it's such a buildup. Like, you literally feel the story climbing up a mountain and then like zooming down.
Yeah, for sure. I actually always avoid watching this episode when I do, scary. Like when I just have it on. I always avoid it because it's just so stressful, and I watch Avatar a lot of the time to be like, oh, like I just want something light in the background, even though we know the show isn't that light, but I always skip it because I get so mad at the end. So it was like the first time I've watched it in maybe like since last May when I first watched the entire show. I think I even like tried to avoid watching it. I think I was on my phone the entire time. So actually like taking the time to really sit down and watch it, I was so frustrated at the end that I had to watch the series finale and watch Azula go crazy because made me so mad this episode.
Oh my god, she's something else. Like, one thing that came up for me while watching this episode was like the word cinematic. I think this is one of the episodes in the past two seasons that it really is like, wow, this is a movie. Like, you feel it like elevate to another art form, I think. I think it's a great episode, but it's just, it got to another level. Like, it hit that other note, you know?
It did. It hit that high note. do we want to just dive in and do our summary?
Let's do it.
You know, this episode, as we said, is very dark. And as we left off, Katara is in trouble. Aang doesn't know what kind of trouble, but he goes back to Ba Sing Se basically to help Katara get out of her trouble. And along the way, they find Toph. I thought that was so funny the way they found Toph. Where they found Toph along the way, and Aang grabbed Sokka, and they went about their way back to Ba Sing Se.
And this might be triggering to some, but Azula and the Dai Li are planning a coup of Ba Sing Se. Who would have ever thought we'd be like relatable?
Maybe that's another reason I've avoided it this past year, because I'm like, oh, coup, no.
And they're trying to overthrow the Earth King. And we get to see Azula's leadership style in this episode.
We really do, because clearly she's doing a good job being a leader, because the Dai Li is like, should I go with Long Fang? Should I go with Azula? But also Azula's also working that psychotic energy she has, and she's trying to convince Zuko basically to betray his uncle Iroh, you know, to betray Iroh and join Azula to get his father's love back and be no longer the banished prince of the Fire Nation, but just the prince of the Fire Nation. Yep.
So he's on the crossroads of his own destiny, of whether he wants to go the path of goodness or continue on that path that Azula's opening up for him. And also, like, he's been doing a lot of mental work. You know, I read somewhere that it's like it takes 18 months in therapy to see a difference, apparently.
What?
If you're, and you also, I'm like, okay, so if we're counting about this, like, let's say he's doing his, like, yoga, meditation, working with Iroh, like, it's been, what, like, 3 or 4 weeks? So he's still in, like, a weak point here, if it's supposed to take 18 months to...
The entire series is, like, a summer. It's 3 months.
So I was like, all right, he's in a vulnerable position right now. And Azula taps into that. And we also have an epic battle in this episode.
Oh, so
and
good.
This is that part where, like, we've been getting the buildup from the Guru. And also in previous episodes, if Aang is attacked in the Avatar state, that might be the end of the Avatar. So And we see in this episode that Azula strikes Aang while he's in the Avatar state, which he surprisingly gets to, which we also saw in the Guru that he may not be able to get there.
The only reason Azula was able to strike Aang was because Zuko decided, you know, he's at a crossroads of destiny between choosing Azula or Uncle Iroh. And at the end of the day, he chooses Azula, which makes me so mad. And that's the only reason why the gang was lost the battle at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, why did he do that? Why?
I was so mad with Zuko.
Go back to your dream. You saw those two dragons. Yes. You know this was going to happen.
Like, he really had to think about it.
Yeah. So we're left with this cliffhanger, you know.
Yeah.
Aang is lifeless. They're flying away. Zuko's off on the dark side. Azula has taken over. Ba Sing Se, the Earth Kingdom has fallen. Things are not looking good. Like, this is not going according to plan.
Yeah, and Uncle Iroh has been captured. That made me really sad as well. He really put himself on the line and, you know, oh, Uncle Iroh's the best.
Just to jump ahead one second, well, two comments, actually. You mentioned how much you love Toph's entrance in this, right? Like, while she's running and you can see, like, she's creating a wave with the Earth. How come, like, I feel like there wasn't a big enough reaction from Sokka that she was metal bending? Like, did he even say anything in this episode?
Let's start with that, because that's light, right? Like,
okay, yeah.
The whole Toph and Sokka, like, relationship right here, where they're trying to, like, work together because, you know, Katara and Aang are doing their own thing right now. Sokka and Toph are so funny this episode. One, they get caught so easily. They're like, that's not the Kyoshi Warriors. And they got, like, there was nothing. What was Toph doing? Where was her earthbending? Like, come on. Like, she could totally take all three of them down.
Of course.
Especially with metal bending. And then at one point where they get the Earth King, I'm jumping around a lot too, but, you know, they all get captured, right? The Earth King, Sokka, and Toph. And Sokka goes, is the coast clear? Or Toph goes, is the coast clear? And Sokka's like, oh, yeah, totally. And then she just metal bends. So they never actually talk about it, but he knows that she metal bend.
Yeah, you know? He sees it, and there's literally no reaction. I was like, okay.
He's just like, that's cool. Like, but that's it. It was like not in the moment. A lot is happening this episode, so they don't have the time to showcase that to everyone.
I was laughing at that, though. And another moment, light moment, if we're going to start with light, when Sokka says, I'm with Suki. I was like, ooh, girlfriend.
The meme that we saw that Veda, you sent me was, you know what, Ty Lee's a queen, because once she heard that Sokka was with Suki, she backed off.
Yeah, I love that. We get you a friend like Ty Lee. Like, yeah. She's a good friend.
Clearly.
And one more meme thing that maybe could be a good transition for us is I saw this meme that was like, every other fighter was leading with violence. They were trying to break down Ba Sing Se at the Earth Kingdom. Even Iroh was like caused so much death with like the attack of war, while Azula took over with barely killing anyone. Like, she didn't really kill anyone in this episode within the coup. And yeah, they were like, I think the meme was basically like, she didn't kill anyone. And so, like, she should kind of get credit for that she took power with the least amount of deaths.
Yeah, but she's definitely killed a lot of people in the past, as we know. She's psychotic. But I think that's just more about her being very
strategic,
because she realizes every time that Ba Sing Se was taken down externally, it has not worked. So she knew she had to go from the inside and take it down from the inside. I think
what
that's just a strategic move.
What did you think of her speech to Longfang of like, you know, I was born in for a leadership role and like you clawed your way up here, but we know who really belongs at the throne.
I thought it was very classist. You know, it's the opposite. And I think that the fact that, you know, Azula is the antagonist of the show, and that's showcasing like, oh, the opposite of what, you know, the American dream is, like, anyone could be anyone. And her taking that down is showcasing, like, from, like, an American standpoint, like, this is a bad person because, like, anyone could be anyone based off of our morals and things like that. But I thought it was classist, and she's probably racist. Let's be real. Like, she in our world, she'd be a racist.
Yeah.
She'd vote for Trump.
Of course. And I thought one of the sentences that was interesting when she was, like, I like the Dai Li because they are earthbenders with the attitude of firebenders, you know? So she's still seeing, like, firebenders are superior. And these earthbenders are okay because they think like firebenders.
But I think at the end of the day, she's only okay with them because it works within her plan, right? She's trying to justify it in some way. I just thought it was interesting that Long Fang in that situation was just like, yep, I lost. Like, you know, I wish they did more with that because he was the villain for so long. And then he's just going to be like, oh, I guess I'm done. Like, that just seemed a little off for me the more we analyze the show. And I just want to go back to like a funny thing, another funny thing I really like that showcases like maybe something we'll see about May in the future when they were trying to get the Earth King and May was watching the bear and or they were trying to get the bear and then May was watching the bear and they're sneakily trying to get him. And May's like, oh, just take him. I don't care. You know what I mean? That was really funny. Like,
just take it. Just take it.
Does not care.
So I think in this episode for me, one of the things I really liked about it, I liked a lot about it, but one of the things I really liked about it is that we go back to the Zuko, Aang, like they're both kind of foils for each other. They're both connected idea that we used to see a lot in season one when they were developing their characters and showing us that these two are connected. But then the story obviously developed and we got further away from that plot point. But then when we come back here, we see them both connected because they've both fallen in their own way. Like Aang is dying, dead, who knows? And Zuko, like, he was going through all this growth and was going to become someone who's changed, and he falls backwards too. So they're both kind of back at their starting point at the end of the season. Like, the episode, it hits so hard because, like, we've seen so, and we've talked about it a lot too in the pod, like, we've seen so much growth from these characters. And then to end the episode where it's almost like everything is back in season one, but just worse. Yeah. You know, it's like he's dead. There's no Avatar. The Avatar is gone. Zuko is back to being like this evil, dumb boy.
I don't even think he's evil. Like, I think Zuko is kind of evil. I couldn't get over how stupid he was. Like, this entire episode, it did for me, the more I watch it, I'm like, oh my gosh, he didn't even really struggle. He's just so stupid to play into Azula's thought processes.
It's like how naive he is too. Like, it also shows that he still, at the end of the day, just wants his family. But I'm like, you have Iroh. Like,
yeah,
Iroh
is your
the only family that you have. And who has been there for you for day one?
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the episode, he kind of is like, but I don't have the Avatar. Don't you think Dad will still give me my honor? Because
why does it even matter at this point? I thought we moved past this. And like, something I thought that was interesting is, it I can't remember which episode, but there's an episode where we go, I think it might be Zuko alone, where he repeats himself, Azula always lies, Azula always lies. Why didn't you not think about that when she was talking to you and lying to you this episode? I was like, are you kidding me?
Where is his brain?
And then when Iroh is talking to Zuko, I get the whole idea of like, we want it to be his choice of like, I want you to choose good over evil. And he's talking to him like, you're at a crossroads of destiny, like, it's your choice, you have to choose which path you need is best for you and what's best for the world.
Why is this path the best for him?
Yeah, but also, why couldn't Iroh just been like, remember, Azula always lies? Like, why didn't he just scream that? Because then he'd be like, oh yeah, she's just lying to me right now, you know?
Yeah, there are sometimes, okay, Iroh, there's sometimes you got to speak in metaphor and let them find their own way. And sometimes, just tell to them straight.
Just be like, she's lying to you. And then also the whole idea of like, you know, they were going to run away, right? Like, Iroh was gone. Zuko was going to jump. And he's like, no, I have to face Azula head on. You know what? This is not the time and place to face Azula head on.
Sleep.
And I was like, you're so stupid to think you can handle her and the entire Dai Li. Like, no, you can't.
Oh, my stomach dropped literally when we see how outnumbered our gang is.
That was sad. Yeah.
You're like, oh God. Like, that's kind of that moment in the episode where you're like, oh, they're not going to win. Like, it's almost impossible to beat this.
I know, but they were so close to beating them. Like, that battle in the catacombs was so epic. We saw how great Katara was at her waterbending. She was so close to getting Azula out. No one has been that close to getting Azula out at all. And Katara was going to do it by herself. You know what I mean? Like, if it was just Katara and Aang against Azula, they would have been out of there.
She is so good. Okay, two other moments I want to bring up. What did you think of the Zutara moment, quote unquote, when they're in the caves and then she was so aggressive to him? And like thinking back on it, like it does make sense that that's her reaction. And she does explain it like, you were the face of the villain to us this entire time.
I feel like via social media and like the whole like Zutara world, they always reference the scene of them in the cave because it's really like the first time they're really having a deeper conversation at all. And I get the whole idea they both have issues with their moms. This is the first time Zuko mentions his mother to anyone on the series in this scene. But like, yeah, we've talked about in the past, like, ooh, we both have similar trauma. Let's date. Like, that's not cute.
Too on the nose in the writing here, but I get it. They didn't have time to like expand the story where it's like, I hate this war. I lost my mom because of it. I lost my mom too. Like, and that's supposed to be like, pause, you know, like this is too easy.
And then one other thing too is just, you know, I saw online that people were saying if Katara had the time to heal his scar, would he have ever switched sides? You know what I mean? Because it's the scar that like really impacts him, and seeing that reminds him every day. If Katara was able to do that and like they built that trust and then Azula came in and be like, join my side, maybe he would have chosen to be with Iroh. I don't know how I feel about that.
I actually kind of agree with it, which is why that moment has such like weight in this episode, right? There's almost like, you're like, is she going to touch his face? You know, does she have the water? There's just... And then suddenly these two sides are coming together. Then Iroh and Aang come in and then they separate and go, you know what I mean? That moment of like that clear animation of almost togetherness to like separation to each side. I really think it would have been a moment of change for him. I think that him deciding to go to Azula, I was very, very disappointed in him. But I don't think Azula was as persuasive as she could have been.
I agree.
I think he could have easily just stayed with Iroh and like it seems like there was more weight for him to stay with Iroh and Aang because they just worked together. They just saved him. He just had this great romantic kind of conversation with Katara. So there was so much buildup for him to actually stay on the side of goodness. I was very surprised that he chose Azula. And I think throughout the episode, we hear the Dai Li talk about how persuasive she is. We hear Ty Lee talk about it. We hear her friends. So it's like, it was like almost a shorthand to be like, oh, she's very persuasive. But I don't think that moment, like whatever she said for Zuko was that persuasive because
I agree.
Yeah, he's already worked through the honor thing. Like, I think he realized he doesn't want this.
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole idea of like the Dai Li talks about it, Dai Li talks about it. They're like saying it, but not showing it. But I think something that stood out to me was the fact that once Aang and Iroh came into that cave with Zuko and Katara, the music shifted. There was something within Zuko that shifted because he actually saw the Avatar, right? Mm-hmm. So if Aang was not involved in saving him, if it was just Iroh and he didn't see Aang, the thing that he wanted to capture the entire time, I don't think Azula's convincing would have worked. I think it had to be both seeing Iroh working with Aang, someone he wanted to capture for so long, and then Azula saying exactly what she said. Gosh. I don't think the other could happen. You know what I mean? So that was my thought process. And the music shifted. Like that was a turning point for Zuko to remember, oh, what was the original plot to the story?
Yeah. That's so true. I love that. Another music moment towards the larger fight scene, that kind of percussive music that they have throughout that, I love that. Mm-hmm. And a heartbreaking moment was when Katara expresses her disappointment to Zuko. And she's like, I thought you've changed.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. I think they do great stuff with like the music in the entire show. And it's sometimes I don't think about it too much, but like the more I am analyzing the show, I'm like, it's so impactful and important, and it really gives the tone of the show. What did you think about, you know, Iroh's advice to the gang? I love that Iroh and the gang kind of joined forces. I thought another funny moment that we didn't talk about was when Toph was like, oh, my friend's here. And it's Iroh and Sokka and Aang are like, ah, like freaking out.
I thought that was so cute because I actually love Toph and Iroh as a pair. Mm-hmm. Like that that episode where he kind of helps her and like acts as like that older figure and helps her. And I also love that Toph can recognize people by their footsteps and and it just gives this softness to Iroh that she hears his footsteps and really like is like, oh, my friend.
Yeah.
I love the moment of vulnerability in the catacombs, and I love that entire animation sequence as they walk in the darkness of the cave and they open it and they see Zuko and Katara in there, like explaining like, yes, there are moments of darkness and then you go in, and also like Iroh validating Aang's choice of like sometimes you have to choose the people you love, and maybe it's also like maybe even for Aang hearing that like, okay, I'm not a weak person, or like it's okay to choose the person I love.
Yeah.
Kind of like, gave him the strength to finally let her go when he goes into the Avatar state at the end.
That's so true. I love the line that he says, perfection and power are overrated. I thought that was so true. And that's something like we all have to remember in life, like in the real world. But, mm-hmm. you know, he's gone through so much in his own life that that's something you only learn with experience, of perfection and power is overrated.
And he expresses that too. And I love that line in contrast to like Azula working for this power. And
Zuko.
Zuko working towards his power. And even Long Fang, how he fundamentally lost who he is. And mm-hmm. his whole self is just replaced with this like gaping hole of power.
Yeah. I mean, like it's a strong feeling, but yeah, it's not going to hold you at night, your power. So
for me, something that I always used to like watch things when I was younger and be like, why would you want to rule a dying kingdom? And I still think that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yes, you're the leader, you're the king, but your people are miserable. There's constant war, there's lies, there's mm-hmm. like oppression.
Things like a are lot of work. Apart. Like you gotta actually do stuff.
But also, like, why would you be proud of it? They're not doing anything except trying to keep their power. It's not like anyone in power is trying to make life better for anyone else. But like, I'd rather be like a leader of a happy kingdom, not one that's mm-hmm. sick. And it's just so weird that the Fire Nation is truly a sick society.
Yeah, and like they're brainwashing their kids, but that's for another episode moving forward. Something I just wanted to mention, I know you mentioned how beautiful it was once they opened up, Iroh and Aang opened up the area where Katara and Zuko were, and you see like all the crystals and everything like that. That actually, that catacomb area and that cave is basically like the ancient city. It's like an ancient old Ba Sing Se, which is really mm-hmm. cool. So that's where like a long, long time ago people used to live. I thought that was really interesting.
The soul of the city. I love seeing stuff like that. I don't know if you've, mm-hmm. you know, if you've ever been to... I know Edinburgh has them, like all of, even mm-hmm. Paris has them, like these kind of underground lives. And it's like, wow, people live that way.
Yeah.
And they're back in the soul of Ba Sing Se, dealing with like, which direction are we going as a society?
Yeah. I know we kind of touched upon it, but like now that we're talking about the catacombs, like that epic battle, oh my gosh, there's just so much to talk about, like throughout
the bending. Entire. They've improved so much.
Oh my
watching God. Aang and Katara work together, Katara is just like, her creativity with water bending is outrageous. And I loved how they zoomed out once in a while too, like we had those close-ups of each fight, but then we zoomed out and we see like the divide, like mm-hmm. it made it really clear that they were at some sort of crossroads in the animation.
Yeah, I thought Katara was a beast. I love that she uses the octopus move, mm-hmm. which I don't think – I might have been the first time she's done it. And the fact that she was able to almost take down Azula was amazing. But I also think that, like, Aang actually just wasn't as powerful as a bender as he typically is in this episode.
He really wasn't.
I think maybe going through the whole opening your chakras, not opening that last one, maybe held him back. Like, there was a really cool scene where it was Azula with her blue fire and then Aang covering himself in those crystals, which apparently, you know, break pretty easily. So it was a cool visual, but like, obviously Azula won and that's super easy. So they, like, he could have chosen something else. He could have used also, like, the earth instead.
He might have been tired.
Yeah, from like opening your chakras. I totally get that. And being stressed about
not Katara. Really eating and then making that choice. I just don't think he was like in that right. Like, mm-hmm. his mind wasn't there for the fight right then.
Another thing I noticed was the way when Zuko came in, you know, obviously like Katara almost took out Azula, but then Zuko came in. And the entire way he was fighting was just so much more aggressive than he's typically been in the past. Or he's like literally punching fire when he's battling. And I'm like, why is he so aggressive? Is that because he's still grappling with the choice that he made of choosing Azula over Iroh? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that image of, like, the image of Aang meditating inside the crystals, like, again, is that image of Aang in the ice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, of them going backwards as these characters, like, suddenly they kind of regress. Like, I love this episode as a regression episode with that imagery. Yeah. And even Zuko, like, being so aggro, like, we haven't seen him aggressive in, like, 6 or 7 episodes.
That you know is what very I mean? True. Yeah.
And then he's coming in, charging in. So I think it's, again, stressing the fact that these two characters, because of what they've been through and the pressure put on them right now, they're both regressing.
Yeah. I really loved also like that imagery of, you know, when Aang does go down, like it's such a parallel with like Christianity.
Oh, I was going to bring that up. Katara holding his body.
Yeah. And even when we're talking about imagery, like that image of like Aang, you know, rising up out of like that iceberg or out of that like catacomb cave, like he's literally risen and then he fell and he died. And that image, like that image of Katara like holding Aang is exactly like La Pietà, which is basically of the Virgin Mary holding her dead son. Like there's so many different parallels with that image to the La Pietà.
I immediately thought of Mary holding Jesus. Clearly that's a reference.
Because in the same way, like, you know, there's a chosen one. There's a, you know, the Avatar is like the savior in this world, right? They're there to like bring newness to this world. And, you know, the savior, like at this point, it seems like Aang is dead. And that's the world's savior. The savior has died. But soon enough, he'll be resurrected because we see at the very end of the episode, he comes back to life. But that imagery of him being risen and then dying in you know, someone's arms is really just super interesting and super cool that they took the effort to think about those parallels between Christianity and Aang's, you know, story right now and choosing to make that image. Because it's not just like a coincidence. You know that they did that on purpose.
It's a very clear reference, and like the way that the frame comes out and it's just Katara and the cat, like the way that she's holding him, it's clearly like an artistic reference.
Like, I think I looked it up because like that looks so familiar, and it's literally like you could put it frame for frame, it's like literally the same exact thing. So it's really cool, and it's like the Avatar is the savior of this world, Jesus was in the Christian world the savior of, you know, our world, and they both died in that moment, and that's like someone important to them holding them. It's so powerful.
It's so sad. It's so powerful. And that's why, like, again, I love it because they're going to these, like, universal stories. These, you know, these, like, deep universal stories and making it feel new in a way, like, by the characters, right? So it's this episode just, it hits, you know? It's such a powerful episode. And I love it because it really, I think, like watching it now, rewatching it as being older, it's like this is both episodes together just explore questions of like philosophy, how to be a good person, what are the values that you have in the world, like how do you make choices, what's important,
the choices you choose to make. It deals with a lot, and
like it fundamentally comes down to sacrifice.
Because at the end of the day, like, we're talking about Aang, and, you know, he realized at that last scene where he does decide to go into the Avatar state and let Katara go, he had to make that choice. He had to sacrifice his love to save both of them. The only way they were going to all survive is if he chose to let her go, which I thought was really powerful as well.
Choosing to let her go, like, that, making that ultimate sacrifice is what would have saved everyone else, right? Like, yeah. That kind of, this episode is just so deep. Mm-hmm. Like, these two episodes together are so deep. And I love how it plays off of each other. Like, the guru to kind of set you up to do the questioning within yourself. Mm-hmm. And then seeing how those questions play out as each of the characters try to answer them.
Yeah, that is true. You know what would have been great if Zuko met with the guru? I feel like maybe he wouldn't have been so swayed by seeing Aang and Azula at the same time. He would have been like, I know myself. I know this the right path. You know what I mean?
But I don't think he was ready, because Iroh is basically trying to give him that same advice in a different style, you know, yeah. Like that. But he's just not ready to go there, just as Aang wasn't ready to hear about that sacrifice right away, yeah. Even though he does ultimately listen.
Yeah, I think, I think for Zuko, it's one of those things, I have to see this through. I want it for so long, I have to see it through. And then once you see it through, you can make that choice. Like, why did I want this the entire time? Is it really what I want? And he can't do that if he just chooses Iroh.
The episode ends when he's unhappy with this choice.
Yeah, I thought that too. I saw he was talking to Azula and you can see something in his eyes. He's like, oh, this is not good. He knew it.
Yeah.
He knew it.
The fact, you know, when you... I don't know if you have it like a teacher or something, and you know when you didn't do well. Like, let's say you're singing a song and you know it wasn't like 100%, and you can hear it. And then before the teacher even corrects you, or you're dancing or something, you're like, yeah, I know what I did wrong. Like, I didn't stretch my foot out, or I didn't like my mouth placement was wrong in this, you know.
Or it's even just like, oh. He just learned, like when you're about to fall or something, you're like, this I shouldn't have made this move. Like, I think about skiing where I'm like, no, I'm going to fall. I'm falling right now. You know
what I mean? I think he kind of realized, like, oh, I made a mistake. And Azula is trying to convince him, like, oh, yeah, it's great. It's great. You can see it in the way he's drawn and
his expression. Himself. Yeah. I mean, I think he remembered, oh, yeah, Azula always lies. So he's like, he's gonna be in trouble. But honestly, I'm so excited for season 3. I'm really happy that they didn't actually leave us with the cliffhanger of like, is Aang dead or not? You know, I like that. Yeah. In the end we see him revived, and I thought it was really important too, because it showed that the water that Katara was holding on to, we knew she had it, and I like that they brought it up earlier and it wasn't just like, oh, all of a sudden you have this magic water, like, we know about this. And she could have used it on Zuko, but fortunately she used it on Aang.
Destiny plays out in the way it's meant to play out. So it was
Crossroads of Destiny. Was this the first time in an episode where they actually say the title in the episode?
I'm not sure. I feel like it is.
But it was so impactful. Like the waterbending scroll. They probably said, oh, look, it's a waterbending scroll. It's not the same thing.
No, not. The way they said it was like, it holds so much weight. Yeah. But, you know, I kind of got like chills when they're like, the Earth Kingdom has fallen.
I know. I was so sad. It's like, so, I don't like it when Azula wins. I literally had to watch her go crazy for me to feel better, because I really did not like her this episode. And, you know, I know a lot of people love Azula, and apparently if there was a season 4, she'd have an amazing redemption arc. But like, I'm just like, not, I'm not for it. Like, she's such a good villain. I hate her. I don't want her to have a redemption arc.
I don't either. I don't think she would even go through it, because she's just so blocked. Like, all of her stuff is so blocked. I can't see her being redeemed, while Zuko was always kind of battling different sides and had more of his mom in him and stuff like that. But overall, great episode. Obviously 5 out of 5 from me. And
5 out of 5 for me too. One of the best episodes the entire season, maybe the best one. I don't know, not the best one, but definitely top 5 for sure.
It totally is. Like, loved it, and I'm excited for season 3.
Yeah, I'm excited too. We're gonna take a break next week, just to give us a little break from in between seasons. I know we have a big system, sorry, but we'll take a break, but we'll be back in 2 weeks from now, and hopefully you can like and subscribe and tell your friends about it, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for joining us on this journey, and have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Bye.